Greenlight is the debit card and app for kids and teens, now with investing. Investing is key to building long-term wealth. And with Greenlight, your kids can learn to invest at any age. They research stocks to buy, invest as little as $1, and you approve every trade. Track progress over time and learn about the world of investing together. Ready to invest in your kids' futures? Visit greenlightcard.com today for your free month trial.
All right, third and final hour of your Wednesday edition of Justice and Drew, sans Justice. John will be back on Mondays enjoying some summer vacation. Max Reimer in
glad to be here. Glad to be here at this historic moment.
This is a pretty special event. John's going to be sad he missed this, I think. Or really happy. One or the other. There's going to be no in between. He's going to be really sad he missed it, or he's going to be like, thank God I wasn't there for this train wreck. And in there, of course, pushing our buttons this morning, the lovely, talented, radiant Samantha Sansevier.
Well, I'm thankful to be here every day.
Give her a call at 651-989-5855. Just tell her how pretty she is.
Or don't.
No, you can do that.
I don't need anyone to tell me that.
Okay. That is true.
Sam probably gets a lot of those calls.
I don't need anybody to tell. I know how pretty I am. Jeff O'Brien, lawyer extraordinaire.
Thank you.
Hanging out with us this hour. We're going to do something a little special. Jeff, as we mentioned a little bit in the last segment, I'll let you do a brief recap, decided to do the Representative Extraordinaire Award. So this is an inaugural.
Yes. First
possibly.
Ever. Possibly. We'll see
see. It could become an annual thing.
Yeah, it could just become like a Hall of Fame thing where new people get inducted every year. I don't know.
It's not a bad idea.
We'll see where it goes.
We'll get like a little Jeffrey Cup.
Yeah, I call it the Lawyer Extraordinaire, Legislator Extraordinaire Award, since both representatives and senators are eligible.
It is
officially nonpartisan. I really wanted to make this, you know, to not just be a one-sided thing, but, you know, if the criteria, as I said, this is my personal profiles in courage. This is not like, you know, the I say these friend of the taxpayer awards, friend of small business, all these different causes that interest groups that give out these awards every year. This was just me as Joe Q citizen, recognizing certain individuals for doing things that I felt were extraordinary.
Right.
It could have been something that, you know, an issue that was important to me. It could have been, you know, doing something that maybe went against conventional wisdom or partisan support.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where these originated from. Unfortunately, it ended up being one party because, we've had in the last 16 months one individual kind of overruling everything in the state.
Yeah.
And
it really is pretty abhorrent.
Yeah. And to have,
in my opinion, how the DFL members of the House really sort of abdicated all of their responsibility.
I got tired of, for the last 16 months, being called an anti-science ignoramus who wanted to kill the elderly just because I didn't think one dude should be in charge of the whole state.
Right, right.
So, but other than, so if someone had maybe, you know, bucked that trend on the other side, they might have gotten one of these. We could have had a blue one made.
Could have had like one DFL representative stand up.
I do have, you know, I have these lawyer extraordinaire hats in red and blue, so we could have easily done a blue one.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I should mention, you know, Shane helped because he said, hey, I've got a screen printer embroiderer in my district that I could get these hats made up. So we patronize, we want to give a thanks out to a good Minnesota local small business, Becker Screen Print, who made the representative and senator extraordinaire hats.
They did a wonderful job. We'll tweet out some pictures here in a little bit.
Yeah, so this came out was, I think it was, you know, I made a joke. I have these hats that say Lawyer Extraordinaire, just kind of, you know, leaning into what you guys have created for me. And I make a comment with somebody, I would say to Shane, I talk to Shane all through session, and if someone did something good, I'll say, yeah, maybe we should give him a hat, right? And then it kind of be like, hey, let's actually make up like an award and give it out. And then, you know, it brought you into the joke and you said, hey, let's do it on the show.
Sure.
So that's how this whole, it came about very organically, just from a series of texts and phone calls. And it just ended up being something fun. And from the reaction of the winners when we let them know, and, you know, Shane distributed, very graciously distributed the hats on the floor, in the chamber. Everybody was like, hey, this is fun. This is cool. I'm honored to receive this. So it was kind of fun.
Yeah. So we have our first recipient in studio with us.
Yes. Shane Mecklen, state representative.
long
time.
Shane, thank you. Welcome to the program.
Glad to be here.
There we go. Now your mic's on.
Oh, sorry. Glad to be here.
All right.
I can just tell you, by the way, the folks at home can't see it, but first time award shows sometimes, you know, it's tough. But I can tell you that the production quality in here for this historic morning is incredibly high.
We didn't even have to use one of the big seven accounting firms.
I can't believe how much Sam took out of her personal paycheck to pay for this setup.
Max, I 100% can promise you I can take you in a fight. So you can keep it coming, but you're really going to regret it later.
I got to pull myself again out of the Friday News Quiz mentality.
So what was the criteria for Representative Mecklen here?
Well,
everybody that gets one of these awards did something.
Yes,
right,
and we've talked about this.
It's not just because he's your friend, and right?
Exactly. So you know, we talked about this. I think I think it was last session. In the early days of the pandemic and all the lockdowns, I reached out to Shane with an idea for a law change because I do some eminent domain and inverse condemnation cases, and I said, it's really unfortunate that a small business owner who gets their business shut down on an executive order can't sue the state for just compensation the way a property owner can mm-hmm. when the government takes your land.
Mm-hmm.
And he ran with it, and he went and he had the bill drawn up, and he had me give my input, and I moved some words around and gave him feedback. And it didn't go anywhere last year, and he came back to me this session. He said, I'm going to introduce it again. And so he did. Again, because of the majority of being the DFL in the House, it didn't go anywhere in the House, but he did convince Senator Andrew Matthews to sponsor it, introduce it in the Senate.
Mm-hmm.
It did get a committee hearing and it did get passed out to the floor. I don't think it ever did get a floor vote in the Senate.
I don't believe it did either.
But Shane was the one that actually introduced this and got other folks on board as co-sponsors, both in the House and then got a Senate sponsor and has been advocating that there should have, if you had had this law in place before March 15th, 2020,
mm-hmm.
I guarantee you the last 16 months would have played out differently, and particularly the two shutdowns of the bars and restaurants. If the governor would have had to go find the state's checkbook.
Yeah,
to pay these business owners,
and why shouldn't he?
You would have had a lot more. You wouldn't have had these one size fits all plans.
Why shouldn't that be an option?
I agree.
Right?
I agree.
You know, if the government is going to come in and say, sorry, you know, we're under an emergency order right now. You can't operate your coffee shop. You can't operate your hair salon. But with no compensation for doing that, that's not right.
Well, and part of it also started back then with Jeff had dealt with an eminent domain case for a friend of mine who was, the county was offering him peanuts. And that was kind of where this whole thing started going. You know, if any government entity can just shut something down or take something away, why is this any different?
Mm-hmm.
And even going through the process, there were some parts of it where people were like, you know, so you don't care about saving people or protecting people. Well, so I got into it with one of my constituents one day, and I said, ma'am, if you're not comfortable going to a small store or a boutique or the local hardware store, all these things that were shut down, don't stop on your way to Walmart next month or next week. And she said, I won't. She didn't quite get the hypocrisy of it. So, I mean, in the beginning of this, the pressure was really hard with all these businesses trying to figure out how to become essential, which I find one of the most egregious things to say one person is essential versus another one is not.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of where this all started. Obviously, you know, not knowing then what we know now, Chapter 12 needs a lot of work.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, extensive work, but at the time
we'll get into that a little bit because I do want to talk to you while we have the ears of some legislators.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I do want to have a conversation about the future of emergency powers and what they look mm-hmm. like and what sort of reforms might be considered. It might be feasible even. I mean, I don't know what's feasible to get through that House in its current form, you know, as it is. But we should definitely have that conversation. Joining us on the line is another recipient of these awards, Representative Eric Lucero. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for calling in.
Well, I truly appreciate the opportunity, and I'm incredibly humbled and honored by being a recipient for simply standing for the truth.
Yeah, this is, and Representative Lucero, thanks for joining us. So Eric is my state representative, mm-hmm. so I know him well, and I know he is a rock rib advocate for conservative values in the Minnesota House, but he also will not back down from a fight, in particular against someone that's one of our favorite people, which is A guy that I refer to as the Jar Jar Binks of the Minnesota legislature, which is the House Majority Leader, Ryan Winkler. And I think, Eric, I think you might have been one of the few to actually bring up on the House floor about the fact that he still has yet to apologize for defaming an immigrant truck driver back in the summer of 2020, and which happens to be, you know, someone that lives in your district. So I appreciate your ability, your willingness to take him to task and that party to task for the way they act sometimes in the majority in the House.
Well, absolutely. Ryan Winkler has a long history of attacking women and minorities. You know, you brought up the example of my constituent, our fellow resident in our great community, who did nothing wrong, following the law, driving, doing work, and encountered protesters on the freeway where they don't belong. But in addition to that, right, you know, as has been discussed, Drew, many times on the show, his tweets and his claims mm-hmm. to ignorance. Oh, I didn't know Uncle Thomas was somehow racist.
Right.
But then on the floor, and Shane, good morning, Shane, by the way, he attacks our colleague, Representative Mary Franzen, mask shaming on the floor. It went on for 2 or 3 minutes.
He's a classy guy, that Ryan Winkler.
Let's not forget flipping the middle finger at a Senate press conference in the Capitol Rotunda.
Was Senator Jensen, right?
Yes. Yes.
It was Senator Jensen he was flipping the middle finger to?
Yes.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite pictures of all time.
An insulin bill or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, real classy guy, that Ryan Winkler.
And we should mention, too, that Representative Lucero, no offense, Shane, might take the award for the best dressed legislator.
He'd get my vote.
Yeah.
He'd definitely get my vote.
Well, I would say I think he plugs them in at night to charge them up.
Exactly. Well, I have to separate I learned the hard way when I wear a glitter sport coat, it leaves a trail of glitter. And so in my closet, I've got separations of the glitter, the sequin, from the standard boring suits.
That gives me a brilliant idea. I'll save that one. I'm going to let that idea marinate a little bit. But, you know, like having a glitter sport coat could explain away a lot of appearances of glitter for a lot of men that might otherwise not have an explanation for why they have glitter on them. I'll just leave it at that.
There we go.
Well, Representative Lucero, congratulations, man. Thanks for calling in. And quick plug, you are actually going to make your Friday roundtable debut on the program later this week. You'll be coming in Friday morning and joining us for the Friday roundtable and the Friday news quiz.
Absolutely. I look forward to it. And it's going to be a great time, as always.
Yeah, that's going to be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to having you in studio. So we'll catch up with you again on Friday, all right?
All right. Thank you so much, everybody.
Thanks, Eric.
Congratulations.
All right. Yep, bye.
All right, joining us on the line, another recipient, Representative Jeremy Munson. Good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Doing great. Congratulations on being named a representative extraordinaire by our good friend here, lawyer extraordinaire Jeff O'Brien.
Well, that's awesome. I'm glad it's not just my 10-year-old that says this.
Did you ever dream one day that you might actually be bestowed with the title representative extraordinaire? I'm sure this was a childhood dream of yours.
Well, you know, it goes way back to a week ago when I was making fun of Shane for posting a video online with this red hat and a strange title, and then I find the hat underneath my desk on the house floor, and texted him and said, "Did you leave your hat over here?" So no, it's hilarious. I love it, and it's a good award to talk about, you know, having bold legislation. I think it's a good idea.
Yeah, speaking of bold legislation, so Representative Munson, again, another one of those strong conservatives in the House, in the Republican. But the particular act that I considered extraordinary was a bill that he introduced this past session that would have basically allowed any of us living west of Maple Grove, I believe, to vote to become part of South Dakota. Where there were no mask mandates, there were no businesses being shut down. You basically lived like a free citizen. So I was all on board with that, being a resident of Wright County. And so I tip my cap to you, sir, for coming up with such a bold and extraordinary idea.
Well, thanks. It was, I mean, we've had a lot of constituents asking how we can just join South Dakota. And we have this long fight in front of us with the Liberals in St. Paul to try to reduce government, reduce taxes, reduce regulations. Meanwhile, you look at Iowa or South Dakota or Wisconsin and even North Dakota, they're already where we want to be. And but when we're losing people in our community where they move to South Dakota, and so I'm trying to figure out a good way for us to stay in our community but choose better governance. And this bill basically would allow any border county to secede to another state, and then once they vote, the next county would be able to vote. And then once we figure out where all the new lines should be in Minnesota,
that's great. It's genius.
We would just basically petition Congress for approval.
Now, look, we did a story on the show last week about a British gentleman who has who had decided that he was transracial, right, and that he was actually Korean. And he's, yeah. I have transitioned into becoming Korean. So if you can choose your own gender, and you can choose your own ethnicity, you can choose your own racial status, racial identity, right, in this brave new world. Why can't I just choose? Why can't I do the same thing with where I live? Why can't I say, like, I've decided that I identify as a resident of South Dakota. I'm going to follow South Dakota laws. I'm going to follow South Dakota regulations. And I'm going to send my taxes to South Dakota.
You're a sovereign citizen.
That's right. That's right, and I bend the knee to the government of South Dakota, not Minnesota.
But you still bend the knee.
Yeah, I guess it's not really the best phrase.
All the hate mail that I've received for people telling me to effing move, you know, and that's not what the bill is about. The bill is about keeping people in our community and just choosing better governance.
There you go.
And I hope that we actually can have a senator introduce this bill and have hearings in the Senate. To bring up business owners that live in communities where 2 miles down the road they're farming for less money or they're building houses for 30% less, and have discussions about what these taxes and regulations are doing to our communities.
And I think that's the important point, is that what the bill did, it attempts to show just how out of touch Minnesota's policies are on taxing, on spending, on just, you know, it wasn't just on COVID mitigation. Right. There's a number of things where Minnesota gets its lunch eaten by the states surrounding it.
Government is supposed to be by the people and for the people. And I think the for the people part really gets left out when you, especially, you know, in an instance like this, because government, I do think a lot of what happens in St. Paul and a lot of what happens, you know, in these conversations with these high level DFLers, the interests of quote unquote greater Minnesota often get left by the wayside. Absolutely. They get ignored. They get mocked. You know, they get called rocks and cows.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I believe the current term is rocks and cows. It's right. Not greater Minnesota anymore.
Yeah, and I think we often forget about the for the people part. Jeremy Munson, Representative Munson, congratulations. Thanks for calling in. Good to hear from you, and we will catch up with you soon, all right?
Yeah, thanks very much.
Take care.
Thanks, Jeremy.
All right, we'll take a quick break. We got some more awards to hand out. We got some more representatives on the line here, including, I see, the Republican who currently represents the Drew DeSack. We'll catch up with them next. Stick around.
Greenlight is the debit card and app for kids and teens. Now with investing. Investing is key to building long-term wealth. And with Greenlight, your kids can learn to invest at any age. They research stocks to buy, invest as little as $1, and you approve every trade. Track progress over time and learn about the world of investing together. Ready to invest in your kids' futures? Visit greenlightcard.com today for your free month trial.
Your Wednesday edition of Justice and Drew. John Justice on vacation this week. Max Reimer sitting in for John. We've got lawyer extraordinaire Jeff O'Brien in house.
Good to be here.
That's very, very good to see you. Representative Shane Meckland also gracing our studios.
Truly my honor.
It's our honor. You know, it really is.
I think it's we have to call referred to him now as Representative Extraordinaire.
Representative
Shane
Extraordinaire.
Meckland.
Yes, I think that's
award winner. Inaugural awards.
That's official. Yeah, 651-989-5855 is the phone number. We're going to be handing out a few more of these awards over the course of the rest of the program. In fact, I believe we have our third recipient on the line here.
Is this Representative McDonald?
Yes, good morning. This is Representative Joe Q, Legislator McDonald.
R/Drew Desac.
Yeah, welcome. Hello, neighbor.
So, Representative McDonald, another longtime rep, also another strong conservative in St. Paul. But he also, I think he might have the distinction of being the only legislator who has actually been, has represented both of us, Drew. Because before redistricting, Joe was my state rep back before. You know, now, it's, of course, Eric Lucero, who was on earlier. And now you get him. He gets to, he has the honor of representing the Drew Desac.
Honestly, it's the only reason I moved to Delano. I just wanted some competent representation. I'm just kidding.
That was a very wise move, indeed, for sure.
So Jeff O'Brien, what was the impetus for awarding Representative McDonald and labeling him one of the
I said, he's been a longtime conservative voice in St. Paul, but you know, you and I both have had the distinction of being of being represented by him, and we just decided. Well, you know,
it's nice to have competent representation.
Exactly.
It's nice to have people that are part of the community and that actually I feel like for one of the rare times in my life, I actually live somewhere where I feel like I'm representative of people that share similar values.
Well, that's because you have the good sense to live in Wright County now, like I do. Yeah.
I will just say one of the considerations we made along the way every time we looked for our new house back in October was I had to immediately find out who my representative was. Mm-hmm. And I live in North Branch now, and I'm very happy with my life.
It makes a difference. And it does. Really thought, it's not something I really thought of, like, earlier in life. Like, it was never really a major consideration of mine until, you know, fairly recently in life. And now that I'm there, it's like, wow, it does make a difference.
Yeah, it's nice to know that your voice is being heard in St. Paul.
Mm-hmm. So, Representative McDonald, Delano, of course, home to the world's greatest 4th of July celebration.
That is correct. We just celebrated what a wonderful Independence Day and our freedom, and we had an absolutely wonderful time here in Delano in Wright County. And you're right, Jeff and Drew, Wright County is just a wonderful county, good conservative values. People are very active. They love their country. They love their neighbors. In Delano here, we kind of call it Mayberry. You know, everybody knows everybody. We care about each other. It's a safe neighborhood. We got good schools. It's a paradise out here, isn't it, Drew?
Yeah, no, it really is nice. I couldn't be happier with the move that we made out there last year.
It was one of the things I noticed in the last year with all the, you know, working downtown and going down to the office occasionally, working remotely a lot. But in Wright County, other than having to put a mask on in the grocery store or going to Target, you pretty much lived life as usual. Then you'd go, you know, into the, you know, the the fear vortex, and it was like two different worlds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I noticed that immediately.
Yeah,
I mean, we moved out to Delano back in August, so it was, you know, still during kind of the height of everything, right? I mean, it was mask mandates in place, businesses still locked down, all that stuff, and there was a tangible change in atmosphere. You know, when you would go to the grocery store, you would go to Target or wherever. I really noticed a significant difference in just people's attitudes and behaviors towards one another.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's a great place to live.
Well, Representative McDonald, great to call. Great to hear from you. Thank you so much for calling in. We got to get you in here for the Friday roundtable one time soon. So I look forward to that. I want you and John to sort of go heads up to see who's the bigger Star Wars fan.
Absolutely. I will take you up on that offer soon.
All right, man. Later.
Thank you very much for the offer, for the auspicious award.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for calling in, man. Good to hear from you.
Take care. Yep. God bless.
All right. We have one more recipient on the line here. This is one of my favorite representatives. This will be Representative Jim Nash.
Well, good morning.
Good morning. This is when it comes to the liquor industry, the spirits industry, the beer industry. I don't know that there's a bigger champion in St. Paul.
There is not, and that's why he is getting this award, Representative Nash. You know, I'm someone that represents. I think I've lost count, but it's somewhere plus or minus 50 or 60 breweries and distilleries in this state, and there is nobody that is advocating for them more, carrying the water more for them on trying to reform some very antiquated laws in the face of very powerful special interests than Representative Jim Nash, and that's why he got the award of Representative Extraordinaire.
Well, I appreciate it, guys. To me, this is one of those things that you do because it's the right thing to do, and these folks just need a voice. They want to make a great product. They want to have parity with the laws or from the states that surround them. And they just want people to get off their backs and let them do their thing. So it's an easy lift for me, but thank you so much.
Representative Nash, a question. We can talk a little bit about what happened with, I know there was, you know, the craft beer, craft distillery, craft cider guilds, Craft Beer Alliance sort of teamed up this session on a drink local bill that mm-hmm. I know you were a strong advocate for, and you did, despite your best efforts, it did not pass. It did not get, I don't think even got a, I don't forgot any hearings in the Senate. There's some chatter about, you know, taking it up next year, but what are the prospects going forward for reforming some of these laws so that our manufacturers can have a stronger footing, to grow their businesses?
Sure. Well, the drink local bill was carried by Liz Olson, a DFLer, because she believes in this, but it didn't really go anywhere, and I was disappointed with that because she's in leadership and could have done that. But the notion of having an omnibus bill was one that I've been pitching to everybody for years, which was to shrink the attack surface from the antis. And the antis are the MLBA and the Teamsters and a bunch of others. So that was a bill that I really do believe is the best pathway forward, and it has something for everybody. So wineries, cideries, meaderies, distilleries, large and small breweries. And the idea is that we should get rid of the laws that have been around since Congressman Volstead was representing the state of Minnesota. That's how long some of these laws have been on the books. And Congressman Volstead, for those of you history nerds, is the guy that brought us prohibition mm-hmm. back in the day. So we have to modernize. We are losing craft beverage manufacturers to other states. They are expanding into Wisconsin and other places. And that's just not acceptable. So something has to get done.
It shouldn't be acceptable. I mean, this is an industry that is exploding all around the country. A lot of the more smarter states, a lot of the states with at least better laws, better spirits and liquor laws, are benefiting tremendously from the growth of craft beer. And you may not think about it as being something terribly important, right? It's beer, big deal, right? It's wine, it's spirits. You know, who cares, right? I can go to the liquor store and get these things. It's becoming a tourism industry.
Yep.
You know, and that's what I think a lot of people are missing is, you know, these areas around the country that are known for having, you know, a high concentration of craft breweries and craft distilleries in kind of a small area. You think like San Diego, I think Asheville, North Carolina, I think Colorado. They are getting, you know, there's beer and spirits tourism that goes on from people that want to go there and they want to try a lot of these local breweries and tap rooms that don't have national distribution outside of their states, but still have amazing reputations within the beer and spirits world.
Having been in this industry now, working with these types of clients for over a decade now, I can remember in the early days, right after the taproom law passed in 2011, I can remember when, you know, you saw a lot of breweries opening up in Northeast Minneapolis, and I can remember hearing R.T. Ryback, who was then mayor, and Gary Schiff, who was on the city council, saying, we want this city, we want this Northeast Minneapolis to rival Portland. That was exactly what the point of mm-hmm. what the taproom law was to allow for destination breweries. And
yeah, but there's still laws in place that prevent
there are. And if you look, and I, you know, I practice in Wisconsin as well. I'm licensed there. And so I have a few of my clients that have expanded there, either a second location or are relocating there. And you look at the laws in Wisconsin compared to Minnesota, and it's not even close. Mm-hmm. I mean, Wisconsin is much more pro-manufacturer than what Minnesota is. And if, you know, you can only spend money and hire lobbyists and be told no so many times, and you get fed up and you say, you know what, I'm going to go spend my dollars to relocate someplace yep. else where I can do what I want to do. And that's not good for Minnesota, for jobs or for taxes or for quality of life.
Representative Nash, do you have any idea, or do you have any number on how many of our craft beer, spirits, wineries, et cetera, have expanded or in some cases even just moved outright to Wisconsin?
Well, I know there's two very notable ones, and I think there are some others coming, but Liftbridge certainly decided to expand into Wisconsin. I spent an afternoon over there with them, and they made it abundantly clear to me that they were not being pursued by Wisconsin to expand into. They pursued Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. So there's that. You know, the number's going to grow. And Tattersall Distillery went over there as well. Mm-hmm. But I think you're going to see in the next few months, now that the legislature has failed to act, and that's really what it is. It's a failure to act. The powers in the Senate and the powers in the House are being controlled either by personal reasons or by unions or by other, I call them, overlords. and they have basically said, we are not going to address this. And here's the funny part. We were told when we first began asking for hearings that the House Commerce Committee was not going to hear any quote unquote controversial bills this year, that they were going to focus on the budget bills.
Right.
But I pointed out in floor debate a number of times that they picked up Ryan Winkler's marijuana bill. Certainly, that's not controversial, I guess.
It's more controversial than loosening up some liquor laws, for right. God's sake.
It is infinitely more controversial than that. And, you know, we've been using hashtags, as I said on the floor, like drink local, free the growler, and I offered Representative Winkler a hashtag that I made for him, which was free the dime bag, and he still hasn't used it. I've been very disappointed by that.
That's probably not racist enough.
Yeah. So yeah, I think we're going to lose a few more, and that's sad because, as you guys were just saying, this is agritourism.
Yeah.
From where I sit. You know, a lot of the distilleries and breweries and cideries and meaderies use all Minnesota-grown product mm-hmm. to make their product. For example, out here in my neck of the woods, which is, I would say, still better than Representative McDonald's, in Waconia, we have three breweries, three wineries, and a distillery. And, you know, Victoria has one as well. But we're seeing our folks source local grain. So it's truly from glass, from grain to glass, and people come from all over the place.
Yeah, yeah, no,
it's time that we modernize. It's time that we pull our heads out of some dark orifice and realize that we're going to lose businesses to other states.
It drives me nuts just as a consumer when I hear, because, you know, we've done the Minnesota Beer Cast, and Representative Nash and I have had a number of conversations about this on and off the air. Jeff, obviously, you and I have talked about this. And it just from the purely consumer end, you know, it drives me nuts that, you know, I can't have greater access to the products that I like and support the breweries, the local breweries that I like, because, you know, some union is worried that they're not going to get their cut. I don't care about the union.
Right.
I don't care about their cut. I care about this product that I like and the manufacturer that makes it, and that's who I want to support. And I want to be able to support them at every possible opportunity that's made available.
Well, and I'm, you know, like I said, I'm licensed in Wisconsin. I'm now applying to get admitted in Iowa. I can't keep applying for all these bordering states to where all my clients are going to move to. We got to do something here. So, Representative Nash, even though the House and the Senate as bodies didn't do anything on these issues this session, you received this award because I wanted to let you know that your efforts, your personal efforts, did not go unnoticed, and we appreciate them.
I really appreciate it, guys. Thanks for having me on. Thanks for the award. And I'm not giving up until this is fixed.
Yeah, we know, and we know, and we appreciate it. Stay in touch, all right, Representative Nash? We'll have you on again
soon. Thanks, guys.
Take care.
See you, Jim.
All right, got to take a quick break. We got a few more awards that will be given out to couldn't make it in, couldn't call in for whatever reason. We'll run through those.
And then we'll discuss the Senate.
And then we'll figure out what's happening over there in the Senate with Lawyer Extraordinaire Jeff O'Brien, Max Reimer, and Shane Meckland, all in studios.
Greenlight is the debit card and app for kids and teens. Now with investing. Investing is key to building long-term wealth. And with Greenlight, your kids can learn to invest at any age. They research stocks to buy, invest as little as $1, and you approve every trade. Track progress over time and learn about the world of investing together. Ready to invest in your kids' futures? Visit greenlightcard.com today for your free month trial.
Sticker. Of a very special edition.
It's always special.
Of Justice and Drew. We are here with Lawyer Extraordinaire Jeff O'Brien.
Yeah.
Max Reimer.
I'm still here. Yes. It's been an awesome thing to witness. Star-studded event.
And Representative Jane Mecklen hanging out.
Enjoying my time.
We are giving out the Legislator Extraordinaire Awards, and we've had several call in. We have Joe McDonald, Eric Lucero, Jim Nash, Jeremy Munson. I've all called in and accepted their awards. Of course, Shane accepted his award here live in studio. But we have a few left to hand out real quick here of people that couldn't call in for one reason or another and give their acceptance.
Yes.
But we want to recognize them.
Yes, so Shane has already presented them with their award. They were given a hat. It's at their desk. But we'll go through the last award winners. We'll transition since, Representative Nash brought up the cannabis bill.
Mm-hmm.
Pat Garofalo, State Representative Garofalo, for a couple of reasons. Number one, advocating that we legalize sports betting. Also, being open to legalizing recreational cannabis. And here's the kicker, tying that to tax relief.
Yes.
We don't want to give the state government another pot of money to spend. We want... I am in favor of these things. I want it to replace taxes on income, on property, on gasoline. Yes. So,
There's very good reasons to be in support of a relaxation or even a full legalization, decriminalization of recreational marijuana and other drugs as well. There's arguments to be made, and I'm not saying it's a simple argument, but the one argument that I cannot get on board with is when people say, well, think of the tax revenue. It's like, there is not a state in this union that needs a dime more than it's already getting. They need to figure out their priorities. They get plenty of money. That is not a good argument for these things.
Nope.
You do it if you want to use it to replace taxes.
Combine it with the repeal of the state income tax and we'll be there. So, you've talked about on the show before, Drew, about how there's a wrong way to legalize cannabis.
Mm-hmm.
California is a good example of that. You still have a black market. The Winkler bill would have been another one of those wrong ways to do it with provisions like you can't transport cannabis in anything other than electric vehicle.
Are you serious?
That was in there.
That was not in there.
Yes, it was.
What is wrong with him? He's a meme. He's not even a representative. He's a meme.
What I'm saying is, if it is going to be legalized, if recreational cannabis is going to be legalized in Minnesota in the right way, it's going to be representatives like Pat Garofalo at the table making those decisions.
Yeah, definitely.
Our next award winner is, and this she was given the award prior to the famous floor speech last week, but Representative Mary Franson, and she received the award because
she should get it just for
she
that
has
speech.
Been one of the from the beginning of the COVID. The COVID lockdown and the governor's quote unquote mitigation efforts. She has been one of the most vocal on Twitter and on the floor, questioning the guidance of the Department of Health, of the governor's measures, and just overall questioning the overall reaction to this virus. And every day goes by, it's proving more and more that she had her finger on the pulse from the beginning.
And we can't talk about Representative Franson without at least, paying full homage.
So picture this, Mario Brothers, right? They're like bomb, ba bomb, ba bomb. And then they hit the little square. And then they get big and they've got more powers. Well, that's exactly what Governor Walz is going to be doing. He is going to be bomb, ba bomb, ba bomb. With his regular powers, and then come July 1st, if this language is accepted, he's going to grow bigger. Woo! You guys are not supposed to laugh.
Yeah. Congratulations.
She's an absolute champ.
I have to tell you, sitting directly in front of her on the floor, that was a tough one to get through.
Oh, man. That's just beautiful.
One of the most epic floor speeches that there has ever been in that chamber.
One of my favorite ones.
And then our final award winner is the minority leader, Representative Kurt Dowd. I have my issues with the minority leader,
but the reason
he won this award, if you recall back in May, the governor was going to have a fishing opener in Otter Tail County.
I love this.
And it's funny because so I was on the phone with Shane reason. The day before and I said, what's going to happen tomorrow? Because someone got a hold of his itinerary. The Rocks and Cows Brigade knew where he was going to be. and win. And there were, I know there was a flotilla planned, there was a plane rented and a banner, and there was going to be a very large peaceful protest in the governor's presence. And Shane, I'm on the phone with him the day before, and he says he's going to use the budget negotiations as an excuse to hightail it out of there.
I did say that. And then the funny part of it was he called me the next day at 10 in the morning on Saturday, right?
Yeah.
And he said, you got it right. And I said, I got what right? Because I hadn't followed the news yet.
Yeah,
and
he
bailed.
Yeah, so one of the, I forget who tweeted it out, but it says a DNR spokesperson said the governor had left the Otter Tail County, had returned to St. Paul for budget negotiations. Okay? Representative Doubt. Yeah. Called him on his BS. Right away, he retweeted, he said, all of our negotiations have been via Zoom, and we have nothing scheduled today.
Yeah.
So what happened was the governor tucked his tail and ran out of Rocks and Cows County rather than meet up with a peaceful protest, because he cuts and runs anytime there's drama, right? You know, when he's getting his way all the time, wielding his unilateral power, he's happy. But something doesn't go his way, and I'm seeing his Twitter tantrum this morning about the MPCA commissioner being forced out, and he's having his tantrum again. When things don't go Timmy's way, he gets mad, or he runs, and he ran on his. I think this might be the first time ever the governor a governor left his own fishing opener.
Yeah, I can't recall an instance where that happened.
So thank you, Representative Dowd, for speaking the truth of what was going on.
Yeah, that was a pretty epic call out. Really was. Yep. I was very pleased with that one.
So that's the House. In terms of the Minnesota Senate, there were a few that came close. I mentioned before about Andrew Matthews carrying the Shane's inverse condemnation reform bill, got it a committee hearing. We got it, you know, out of committee, passed out of committee. But at the end of the day, the Senator Extraordinaire Award will remain unawarded.
Aww.
Because unless I haven't seen any breaking news at this time, I believe Jan Malcolm is still employed as the commissioner of the Department of Health. And I can't in good conscience, give this award to anybody who didn't say something about why she was not. We're going to have informational hearings on commissioners.
Mm-hmm.
Why you wouldn't bring the commissioner in and ask, so why did we put sick people in long-term care facilities? Why did, where did you get this data from? There's just too much. She should have been the first one fired, and she should have been, and it should have been about the first time that he extended his powers after the November elections. So, the advocates, the warriors are in the House. The Senate is.
So you're still looking for a senator.
We've got a hat.
The senator.
They're still in session.
Hat.
They're still in special session. We've got a hat here for you. First one that wants to bring her in.
All right.
You got a hat.
It looks good, too.
The gauntlet has been thrown down.
Yeah, custom made at Becker's Screen Print.
That is correct.
Well, thank you so much, Jeff. That was fun. I enjoyed that.
Thanks for indulging me.
Yeah, that was a good time. And thanks for coming in studio. We'll do this again next year, for sure.
Sounds good.
All right. Max Reimer, thank you so much for coming in, sitting in for John.
Of course.
These last couple days, really appreciate it. It's always nice fun hanging out with you. Great to see you, Representative Mecklen. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you.
We have reached the portion of the program where we have to find out what Sam learned today.
Well, at about 6:40 this morning, I learned that we're going to have Biden administration minions going door to door, making sure that you're vaccinated. So that's cool, I guess.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I love that. After 7 a.m., I learned more about Shikari Richardson being banned from the Olympics due to smoking marijuana. At 8 a.m., we began Jeff O'Brien's Extraordinaire Awards, and I learned who are the best of the best Minnesota representatives. If you missed any of those moments and you want to catch up on the show, you can find our podcast on the iHeartRadio app by searching for Justice and Drew. What Sam Learned is brought to you by Advisory Partners. You can learn more about how they can help you maximize value when selling your business at advisorypartners.com.
Brian McDaniel will be sitting in with me tomorrow morning and Friday morning. We'll hear from Katie Pavlich as well. Have a great day, everybody. We're back tomorrow, 6 to 9.
Greenlight is the debit card and app for kids and teens. Now, with investing. Investing is key to building long-term wealth. And with Greenlight, your kids can learn to invest at any age. They research stocks to buy, invest as little as $1, and you approve every trade. Track progress over time and learn about the world of investing together. Ready to invest in your kids' futures? Visit greenlightcard.com today for your free month trial.